بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And welcome everybody to this interview with productive Muslims around the world. Today we have a special guest. Today we have brother Zain Beeker. He is a famous nasheed artist inspiring fans around the world with his voice and messages of hope, peace and emotional upliftment. He's a singer, a songwriter, and has creative workshops, and also is the one of the founders of the Ibn Sina Institute of Tib. He's well loved by the young and the old. Salaam alaikum, brother Zain.
Wa alaikum salam, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
Jazakallah khair, Zain. It's an honor to have you. I mean, our aim of this interview is mainly to look into your life and see how we can take off lessons that basically will inspire the young and the old to be productive and active in their lives and to serve this ummah. MashaAllah, you're someone who has discovered his talent and employed it to inspire many others and employed it to help and inspire this ummah. So the question, my first question to you is, when did you discover your talent and how did you nourish it?
Well, you know, I always enjoyed singing ever since I was a young boy. As long as I can remember, actually. I remember I must have been 5 or 6 years old, and I was always going around the house singing popular songs at the time. And I was very fortunate that my mom and dad both, really allowed me to do that, and they always encouraged me. And even throughout my schooling career, especially when I was in high school, I took part in a lot of shows and concerts and competitions, singing competitions, rapping competitions, and I really enjoyed expressing myself. It was in the latter part of my high school career that I really started writing songs. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, I was just copying songs of other artists, and it was only late in high school that I started writing songs. And and then when I finished school, actually, and I started studying, the singing kind of took a back seat in my life, and I didn't really think. I think once you finish school and once you finish studying and you need to start working, yeah. You know, real life takes over. And I think that's where most people kind of just, you know, gets you know, stuck in a certain lifestyle, and they forget possibly their strengths that they had when they were younger. Mm. And luckily for me, I had a reminder, 2 years after I finished school. I was probably about 19 years old, and it was 1994 in the country. The country was going through tremendous change because we just had our first democratic election, and Nelson Mandela became the first black president of South Africa. Mm. And I was driving to work one day, and there was a radio station, and the radio station said that, you know, they want to have a competition, and people should write songs about the change and how they felt about the change in the country. And I thought, well, you know, I think I could sing, and maybe I should try this. And that's how it all started. I made a small demo tape at home. It was on a small karaoke system, actually, very, very unprofessional. And I sent it in, and I was very, very fortunate to have won that competition.
MashaAllah. So when did you move towards Islamic Nasheeds?
Well, you know, that same year coincided with a very unfortunate event for me, because in 1994, I also lost my best friend, you know, a guy that I grew up with. I knew him since I was, really, really young, and we were in school together, and he was really, really a very, very close companion of mine. Mm. And we were both 19 at the time, and he got shot and he passed away. And for me, it was a real difficult time. In reality, the reality of the fact that we were all going to die hit me when he passed away. Because, you know, up until that point, I had lost my grandmother and, you know, elderly people who were sickly. And you kind of think that, well, that's the norm, you know. But when I lost my friend, who was my age, and we both felt we had our lives ahead of us. And I think because I won the competition in the same year that I lost my friend, those two events collided. And I think it forced me to think, well, you know, if I have a talent, if I think that I have something to share with the world, then why not share it about, you know, why not use it for a greater purpose? Why not use it to inspire some people towards something better than just what I was hearing on the radio? You know, a greater purpose about God, about our lives here, about the certainty of death and struggle, and most importantly, you know, salvation that comes after death if we lead good lives. So I think for me, the collision of those two, you know, important events in my life in the same year me losing my friend and then winning this competition, I think allowed me to say, well, let me start singing, you know, about, you know, the greater purpose of life. And that same year, I wrote a few songs, you know, very, very simple songs about Islam, give thanks to Allah and the five pillars of Islam and Eid, and, you know, really simple songs. And I went into the studio. My dad actually was really encouraging me, you know, even though I possibly wasn't as interested as I should have been. I remember coming home from work the day he booked the studio for me. You know, he had found someone who knew someone else who knew someone who had a studio. And I came from work and I was really tired, actually. And I told him, I actually don't want to go. So he said, no, you made a promise. You know, you have to go. And I mean, thank Allah for that, because I went and I recorded all the songs really quickly. And I had no idea. I had no training. I had no formal training in music. And I had no idea what I was doing. But I think at the time, if you look at the time in 1994, there wasn't any songs about Islam in English. There was a lot of anashid in Arabic or in Urdu, but nothing really in English. And I think that's what really provided the spark for everyone to say, well, this is really nice. Our kids understand it. Can you make more? And that's really how it all began.
SubhanAllah, that's a beautiful, beautiful story. I mean, I was wondering, I was saying that I was hearing this morning the radio about talents, and they say talent has three main components. Number one is saying is the person himself who believes in their talent and believe that they have a talent. And the second thing is the opportunities that come across, which really, you know, make your talent grow. And the third is the environment that help you and support you to build your talents. And do you see yourself for sort of following that same pattern as well?
Yeah, well, I think absolutely, and I think that's a really good way of looking at it, because, you know, it's like any inherent talent that we are blessed with as human beings. You know, some people, you know, all of us have something special. You know, it's like our fingerprints. You know, all of us are unique in a certain way. That's how Allah created us, and it's one thing enough just to have that talent and to possess it, but it's about, as you say, finding the opportunity and taking the opportunity. A lot of times it's very difficult to step out of line and to say, you know, because that's, I believe that's what art is all about. You know, art is taking a piece of your soul and putting it out there for the world to see. And you say to the world, you know, this is who I am. And this is what I have to say. And most often people would associate with that, because they are human beings like you, and we all share, we might not share the same experiences, but we share the same emotions, and I think, and the struggles and hopes and dreams, and, you know, and I think that's what unifies us as human beings. So it's not just about having the talent, but taking the chance to say, I want to share it with the world. And then lastly, to share it responsibly. You know, you could very, very easily, you know, take your talent and use it to create havoc in this world, and to create division and intolerance and hatred. But you want to use what you have, what, you know, Allah has given all of us, in whatever capacity, you want to use that to change the world for the better.
That's a very good point about using the talent and in the service of, you know, of the one who gave it to you. I mean, sometimes you have talents and subhanAllah, they either abuse it or they don't take care of it. But the one is, yes, go for your talent, but then think of ways of how to, you know, how you can use this to basically say thank you to the one who gave it to you, subhanAllah. I was going to ask you about, so your early years, you had your nasheeds, you started singing, you became famous. You know, the pressure of rising to fame, people, you know, want more from you, and, you know, they want to ask you, how did you deal with that pressure? I know that you've been volunteering your time and efforts to community organizations and charity reliefs. That's one way of dealing with it. But how did you manage about, you know, just, you know, just, the, you know, the stardom? Sometimes that can, you know, can either crush you or can be something that lifts you up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very good question. It's an important point. I mean, when I began, it was on a very, very small scale. I released four or five independent albums, and it was getting popular here in South Africa, but, you know, it was limited to that. And I think the big exposure came in 99 when, you know, Brother Yusuf Islam came across one of those independent tapes and, you know, invited me to England to record on an album of his called Ace for Allah. And that was a wonderful experience for me, working with someone like Yusuf Islam, who has this huge reputation before him in terms of, you know, this amazing singer-songwriter from the 60s who gave up fame and fortune and decided to live a simple life and found peace. I think it's a wonderful story for any human being, and meeting him and working with him. And alhamdulillah, till today, I have a wonderful relationship with him. But I think once I met him and I started releasing albums internationally, you're right. You know, the recognition and yes, and then the pressure of people expect and your expectations, I think is
yeah.
is very, very difficult to deal with. I mean, it's difficult for me. It's difficult for my family. You know, and to be honest, I've only really seen it in the last few years, like the last 4 or 5 years, where it's really become, I think, a lot more than it used to be, you know. So, and I think maybe because with the advent of Islamic TV stations and, you know, people sort of can recognize you more easily.
True.
So, so that's something that I think I have to deal with. But, you know, a lot of the most important thing is that, you know, for me, I always realize that none of that is real, actually. You know, all the fame and it's actually, it's not tangible, it's not real. The person on stage just doesn't exist. Mm. It's, you know, it's who I am that does exist. And I am just an ordinary person with so many weaknesses and so many struggles of my own. And that's what I focus on. So I don't really take any of the other stuff seriously. I do my best and I try to, you know, I try to share what I have, you know, and the most important, I always try, you know, inshallah, I always try to do it for the right reasons.
Mm.
And that's to please Allah and to do something good that can share with the world, not to please anyone and not to definitely try not to please myself in the process, but as long as that it's for that greater purpose. So, and it's a struggle, you know, it's as you become more popular, your intentions are sometimes not even clear to yourself, and you really need to sit down and say, why exactly am I doing this?
Yeah.
And really be honest, because sometimes we can fool ourselves. But I don't take the fame or all of that too seriously. And as you said, I think one of the things that has helped me is my, you know, my just dedication to anything, any charitable cause. You know, I love working with charities. None of what I do is for money.
Mm.
Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me. I'm in a position where I've got a good job and I've got good income, so I don't have to do any of my music or the songs or shows, anything for a living, and it's a wonderful, really, really privileged position for me to be in, that I can just do this just for the love of it. And you know, for charity. So all the income from the CDs and the shows and all of that goes to our charity here in South Africa, which is, as you said, the Ibn Sina Institute of Tibb, which is dedicated to the promotion of the philosophy of Unani Tibb, which is Arab Greek medicine.
Mm.
And you know, we put up clinics, and we do a lot of training in disadvantaged areas, and empowering people to look after themselves. So alhamdulillah, it's really fantastic work. But also, you know, I work with other organizations like Islamic Relief, Families Relief, Gift of the Givers, A Human Appeal. You know, that's a great way to keep grounded, you know, to work in service of others. You know, you only really appreciate what you have when you meet others who don't have as much. And it's important to really keep your focus on always being grateful, I think, just being grateful for what we have. Because, you know, as human beings, we tend to become forgetful, and we always want more than we have. And until you meet someone who doesn't have much. And that's why I think for me to be involved with these organizations is a great opportunity to remain grounded, inshallah.
Was there any maybe instances or stories or something you came across with the charity organizations that really inspired you? And for example, maybe you inspired some of your music, or inspired some of your nasheeds, inspired some of your work?
Absolutely. I think in South Africa, you know, working with Islamic Relief, especially over the last 4 to 5 years, you know, we've gone into the townships and, you know, there's so many young faces, and I think it's just touching when you visit them in the townships, where it's absolutely really difficult conditions, living conditions, and yet these kids are just so happy and smiling and singing, and you know, singing my songs, and for me, I can find no greater joy than coming across young people who know my songs and sing it and find inspiration for it, and I think that's what makes it really worthwhile. You know, more than anything else, it's just knowing that I've touched someone else, you know, and in South Africa, it's very hard not to be inspired, because there's so many orphans here. There's so many children who are without parents, without homes. So the work is very, very much needed here. And you know, even when I travel abroad, you know, I travel to, I don't know, France and Holland and Australia and the US, and when I land there and I find someone that knows my songs, and I think, you know, I couldn't have done this. You know, only Allah can do this. You know, I think Allah expects the smallest of efforts from us, but and then he does the rest. You know, only he can inspire the hearts. And I think all I can just pray is that my heart is inspired, most importantly.
I mean, inshallah. As I move on to about asking about your productivity, I mean, I just realized now, do you all have a work, day job, and Nasheed? So Nasheed's not full time?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I thought you were full time, Nasheed, okay?
No, I mean, I would have, I remember when I met Yusuf Islam for the first time. And, you know, one of the advices he gave me, it sounded bad at the time because he said, you know, don't give up your day job. So I thought he meant that I should, you know, maybe I shouldn't sing too much. But what he meant was that if you know, if I'm going to sing about, you know, Allah and, you know, about humanity and about trying to make a difference, then I should do it for that reason and no other. You know, I shouldn't do it as a living. And alhamdulillah, you know, unlike many, many artists who are, you know, so talented and struggle so much to make a living, you know, alhamdulillah, I'm so fortunate to be in a position where, you know, I have got an income and I do this, you know, as a part-time. The difficulty that comes with it is trying to balance it all. And to be honest, it's really, really tough. I mean, to balance my work life, which is a normal 8 to 5, but most often 8 to 7 job, and then to do the music, you know, in the evenings or in the weekends, and then still time to find, you know, find still try to find the time to spend with my family. I've got a big family. I've got 4 boys, you know, it is very demanding. But and sometimes, look, you know, sometimes like any human being, you tend to do too much of one with you know, and ignore the others, and. You know, and then you gotta sort of compensate and remind yourself, you know, don't overdo it. My dad always does that. He was just telling that to me today, actually, saying, just be careful, don't overdo it, because it has been a tough you know, few weeks. But alhamdulillah, you know, I just feel so blessed. I mean, I think, to be honest, I've been working like this for such a long time, you know, trying to do a lot, you know, between my family and my work and my songs, that I really thrive on it. I think when, you know, if I didn't have it, I think I would really start thinking, you know, I don't know. I think I'd feel really unproductive and you wonder, you know, am I not doing enough? So this way I really have a full day, but sometimes it's also necessary to just to take stock of your life and take it easy a little. So I think it's trying to find that balance.
Yeah. So you're saying that your productivity keeps you going, or is it something that keeps you productive? I mean, is you can say that you said that earlier that you thrive on this. So is it your productivity that keeps you going forward further, or is that
absolutely. I think waking up in the morning and knowing that there's just so much to do is exhilarating. I think you wake up in the morning and you think, well, you know, I've got to go to work. I've got to tackle all these things. You know, and I'm in basically my background, my formal background is accounting. Out of all things,
that's shocking.
Yeah, I know. I was once on stage actually with my band, and I was singing and I was talking in between the songs, and I mentioned this point live on stage, and they were shocked themselves, and they
Everyone
stopped playing.
Quiet.
They stopped playing. And they were laughing at me on stage. That was quite funny. But I mean, so my background is more from a business and accounting and management point of view, so which is very, very black and white and figures, and everything is as it should be, you know, and that's what I love, and I love that part of my life, because you know I love making things work and, you know, building businesses. You know, we had myself and my dad had a really big pharmaceutical company in South Africa, which we built up to a really big size, and we sold that, and now we're building up another company. So I love doing that. But then the creative side, which is the music, is completely different. You know, you meet different sorts of people. Creative people are very different to normal business people that you'd be meeting on an everyday basis. And you need to be completely open, you know, to any possibility in the studio. You can't be closed-minded. You need to you know, anybody, a little child can walk into the studio and say, you know, I don't like that. And you've got to take it seriously. You've got to say, well, she's got a point, you know. And that's what I love about being creative. There is no right or wrong, you know. There's just, you know, what feels right at the time. And you need to be open to all the inspiration. So it's lovely to have that balance. And then I think what allows me to do everything is my family, you know, my mom and my dad, my wife, my kids, my sisters. I think having them there as a support for when I travel, and they, you know, they're always the first to listen to my songs and give me really honest advice. And I'm really, really, alhamdulillah, I'm really blessed. I don't think I deserve it, but I alhamdulillah, I pray every day that, you know, just for all the blessings that I have.
Alhamdulillah. So was there a day when you found a difficulty, and how did you overcome it? So if you face a challenge or something really difficult, how do you normally overcome it? Especially in the path to being, you know, if you try and be productive, try and be helpful, and then, you know, criticism, people come and criticize you, or there's some kind of pressure, you know, what sort of, how do you face those challenges?
Well, I think that's the, you know, from my personal experience, from a work point of view, what I've learned the most is, you know, to prioritize and to work away at things consistently. You know, my dad has a saying that, you know, whatever you do, follow it through. And it's very uncommon, actually. Most people tend to do things halfway, and when you start something, really go the extra mile and make sure that you complete it, you know. And it's like keeping your promises, you know. Whatever you say you're gonna do, you know, try your best to do it. On the creative side, I think one of the greatest lessons I learned from Yusuf Islam was, you know, if you're gonna do something, do it to the absolute best of your ability. And I remember once we were shooting a video for a song that he recorded in South Africa, a new version of Peace Train, which is like an African version of Peace Train.
Yeah.
And he shot a video for it, which was going to be beamed live to a show in Europe. And we were in Johannesburg, all of us, and we were working, you know, crazy hours to try to get this in time for this live concert that was going to take place, you know, in Europe, that we had to beam across, you know, via satellite. And I remember, you know, Yusuf was making final changes to this, and the engineer there said, you know, Yusuf, we're running out of time. And he turned to him and he said, you know, if this is not right, it doesn't go out.
Well,
and I was shocked. I was shocked to hear that. I said, you know, he spent so much money on this, and there's so much riding on it, and he just would have made the decision that if it wasn't right, he wasn't going to put it out there. And I learned that, you know. I thought that's great, that, you know, if it's either it's going to be perfect or you just don't bother, you know. We need to push ourselves, and I think in that regard, you know, especially as Muslims, I think we really there's a lot of work for us to do in the media creative you know, space. We need to utilize those fields. And alhamdulillah, today, if you look at, we've got the likes of, you know, Islam Channel, Peace TV, Huda TV, you know, all these amazing TV channels. We've got amazing radio channels. The fact that I'm speaking to you, you know, from halfway across the world, you know, via the internet, you know, all of these mediums are available to us. And alhamdulillah, more and more, you know, Muslims are getting involved in using these means to reach people. And I think, and I just think that's fantastic.
MashaAllah, it's been beautiful. And I think just trying to summarize the main points about, you know, discover your talent, nourish your talent, about, you know, giving and helping others, about being sincere in what you do, make sure you do for a greater purpose, and to thrive on being productive, and finally to give yourself the best. But I was saying, do you have any words of advice for our productive Muslim fans? A lot of our fans, they're the young students, some of them, they're between 18 and 24, they're just that around that age where they're figuring out what to do. And really, is there any advice you want to give them to inspire them?
Yeah, well, I think the, it's not my place to give advice, but I think if I could share with them things that I've learned, you know, the most important thing is, you know, never ever underestimate that you can change the world, you as an individual, in whatever capacity, even if it means, you know, smiling at your neighbor. You know, we all can change the world by doing those little things, those small little things we're doing consistently, giving somebody, you know, a way in the traffic, or you know, buying a, I don't know, chocolate for someone at the store, you know, doing little things. I think we can change the world and make this a better place. And I think that's what the world needs right now, is just a lot more tolerance and love and reaching out. And I think sometimes we think that these things are beyond us, but it's all within us. And in whatever capacity, I think, just to believe that we can all change the world.
MashaAllah, JazakAllah khair. Now you can imagine what I'm going to ask now. I'll ask for a very, very small nasheed from you, inshallah, for all the fans, inshallah. Just something very short, inshallah.
Oh, man. Any specific suggestions?
I was thinking one related to productivity, so maybe the one about time, perhaps, or anything, perhaps. Anything you would like to inspire the fans, inshallah.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Trying to think of an applicable song to the subject. I don't have, unfortunately, a song you know, actually, I've got a new song that I've been working on. I've never actually sung it.
Okay, so Bismillah. As a pre-release.
maybe I should sing a little bit of this. It's probably going to only be released much later this year. So, inshallah, this is just a sneak preview. This song is called "Come On Everybody," and it was written actually. I wrote it specifically about myself, because this is what happens to me a lot of the times. So, and I love songs like that because I find that most people, you know, associate with it. So anyway, it's called "Come On Everybody." It goes something like this.
Okay.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I'm playing out of position. I feel like I'm missing the whole point of this game. I'm tired of consuming. This daily illusion is gonna drive me insane. But once in a while, the veil gets lifted and I see the other side. Ain't no ticker tape parade waiting by the gate unless I work on the inside. We're so caught up in our homes, our lives, our things, magazine and television closing all the lids. There's a whole world out there, work to be done. Come on everybody, come on. Come on everybody, come on, come on. That's it.
JazakAllah khair, beautiful, inshallah. Can't wait for that one to come out, inshallah.
Yeah, thank you.
Brother Zain, it was an honor to have you on this radio and this interview, and really, really appreciate your time and all the words of inspiration. I'm sure all our fans would really, really enjoy and benefit. And inshallah, we, you know, wish you all the success and make dua for you, that Allah keeps you on the straight path and help you to inspire others and use you to service ummah, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, Brother Zain.
JazakAllah khair. Thank you so much for having me on the show, and the honor is all mine, and I hope to speak to you again.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.